ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the reigning, defending, undisputed, universal heavyweight champion,
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Berry. And if there's one thing we learned for certain after Arizona's game in Washington, it's that the Wildcats starters are better than the Huskies' backups.
That's something.
That game did not go particularly well. We all went into it kind of thinking that, you know, the USC game, we took a moral victory out of. We thought Arizona played well, better than anticipated. The offense moved the ball. The defense was competitive. Like, if they can take that on the road to Seattle and maybe not beat Washington but compete against a team that struggled to beat Oregon State the week before, that would show signs of progress, so that it wasn't a mirage. What happened in the game against USC wasn't a fluke. Arizona was down 17-0 in the first quarter, 24-0 at half, 37-0 after three quarters, lost 44-27, and obviously the game was not even that close.
But they almost caught up to covering the spread, Adam.
That's true.
Yeah, I think if the USC game was one of the losses that helps build confidence and secures someone in staff for another year, at least the first three quarters of the Washington game was the type of loss that does the opposite to a large extent. And I think the frustrating thing, well, part of me, I mean, I don't think it would have determined the outcome of the game, but I think it might have been more competitive. That shift in momentum of the first drive, Arizona's defense got them to a 4th-and-1 and they did the fake punt.
Yeah.
I think that deflated the defense a bit and kind of threw them off balance, but the reality was, for most of the, you know, first three quarters of that game, Washington was not doing anything complicated. They just had the talent that could beat the guys in front of them. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't running exotic blitzes. They weren't even really masking coverages on defense. They weren't doing anything exotic on offense. It was run the ball and play action. And our concerns about the middle of the defense in terms of the linebackers and safeties were well-founded in that game, as their tight end seemed to have more catches than we've had in Arizona football tight end history for the last 3 years combined, just in the first half. So, you know, there's obviously plenty to be disappointed in. You know, the O-line didn't necessarily play as well as you'd like. Gunnell was kind of up and down, partially due to the O-line pressure. And mm-hmm. You know, Washington has a very, very good defense, which, you know, informs Arizona's offensive performance. Because the funny thing was, like, in reality, the defense is not – they didn't play great, but they didn't play that much worse than they did against USC. It's that the offense did not put them in any position, and they were on the field so much that with the lack of depth, they never had a chance for success. Like, what we've talked about for the game plan of ball control, long sustained drives, keep the defense off the field, basically the opposite of that happened the entire game.
Yeah, and I will say, watching it live, Arizona got that first three downs of the game. They got the stop. It was 4th-and-1. They sprawled that punts. And I turned to my fiance, I'm like, they're cowards punting. You know, I'm like, come on, Adam, you dummy. At the same time, they probably didn't need to do a fake punt to get the half a yard. They probably could have just lined up and got it. But Washington, I guess, had a thing for the flair for the dramatic and the exotic in that game at certain times when it didn't make a lot of sense. But I did say going in, I thought it was going to be on Arizona's offense, right? Could they score points? Because could Washington keep up? Washington's offense, like you said, Brett, didn't do anything fancy. Dylan Morris was not impressive to me. He made a couple throws to wide-open receivers. Even the slant that turned into a touchdown, I think the 54-yard touchdown, it was behind the receiver. It was behind Newton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't a great throw. No, Morris did – anytime he threw a deep ball, he missed, it seemed like. So he wasn't –
imagine if they completed their – if he was accurate on a deep ball, it would have been – 57-0. But that's
Washington, right? Their defense was good, and we knew their defense was good. And we knew going into this game that the talent gap was bigger. The problem is, we thought the same against USC. So is Washington that much better than USC talent-wise? Is it a fact that Arizona went on the road and struggled? They tend to struggle on the road with Kevin Sumlin, especially the last couple of seasons. Is it just it's snowballing? Like, so many things went wrong, and Arizona did score 27 points in the fourth quarter, and Haversick missed an extra point. If you're going to miss one in a game, they have no chance to win anyway. Like, I'm fine with that. Get out of your system in that one. And you could look at that and say Arizona kept fighting, which is true. You know, there are a lot of people who were like, why is Grant Cannell still in the game right now? And that was a fair question when Arizona was getting shut out in the fourth quarter. They ends up throwing
taking
three
hits.
Yeah, well, then he ends up throwing three touchdowns, and there's no moral victory in that. Like, I'm not even, as much as I was saying you could find one in the USC game, there's none in that. Like, do you want to say the team didn't quit? I guess. And like I opened with, I guess Arizona starters are better than Washington's backups. But the most disappointing in that game was the fact that Arizona's offense, like, there's all the talk about how they didn't expect Washington to come out throwing the ball. Fine. Okay, I can live with that. You had to expect their defense to do what their defense did. You know, so the fact that they didn't have any plan, no Mazzoni, and that offense had no plan to kind of get Grant Cannell settled in and get things figured out early enough to be competitive. Because, yeah, I mean, the defense wasn't good. You know, were they better than they were against or worse than they were against USC? I don't know. I mean, they gave up more long drives in this game. You know, Washington didn't really have too many short fields, and they methodically moved the ball with little resistance from Arizona's defense. But that's also to be expected in most games. And to your point, Brett, and I agree, Arizona's offense has to be much better than that, if only to keep the game somewhat close, but also to keep the defense off the field. And Arizona went three and out, three and out, three and out. And by the time they did anything, by the time they went more than the three and out, they were down 17-0. It was their third drive of the game. They went four plays. They got one first down on the first play of the drive, and then ended up punting after three more. So that was it. They didn't do anything in this game offensively, and by the time they did, obviously the game was well out of hand, and they were able to move the ball. And the question is, did Arizona figure something out, or was it a case of Washington's backups being that much worse? And, I mean, if you want to say, hey, that's something, it's nice that Arizona starters are better than Washington's backups. Because if Arizona starters are not as good as can't handle second string, even on a good team like Washington, that's a problem.
Though, to be fair, that fourth quarter, there were a lot of snaps for guys on the field that we have not seen much of or at all this season. Like, sure. I think Peyton Fears got pulled for, I'm blanking on the right, walk-on right tackle,
which is not exactly where you want to be going.
Peyton Fears did not have his best game.
No.
He got beat a decent amount. I mean, a lot of the guys on the line didn't have that great of a game. But, you know, if you squint hard and want to look for bright spots, you can see some. Mejon Wright looks like a damn star in the making. And
yeah.
Why is he not getting more snaps? Because that guy, you know, he's been on the field for, what, maybe 20 snaps this season, and he is already just – he pops off the screen with his athleticism in his hands.
His size, yeah.
Yeah, so, like – you got to think they're going to start to get him the ball or get him on the field more. You saw Bubi Curry at least get more catches. I don't know if he did anything that was like made you say, wow, like Mejon Wright. You know, Jalen John looked good in running the ball. Some of the young guys on defense, Paris Shand
got out there some. Paris Shand.
Derek Morning looked pretty good. Paris Shand for a freshman looks every part of the every
he got season, a sack.
I think, is that our only one of the season?
Yes, it is.
A couple games in and you have one sack. That's not what you want to see. You know, so there are some things that you see that were good. There's things that make you kind of scratch your head. Like Jamari Joyner only getting one catch is concerning. Reddy Short seems to be, you know, the safeties seem to be struggling in coverage.
Oh, angle, speed, they take poor angles and they don't have the speed to make up for anything. Like that's how slants turn into 57-yard touchdowns. Like, or...
yeah, and Jackson Turner, I believe in his athleticism, but he's still he's a redshirt freshman, I think, right? So he's still learning. And Reddy Short he's more experienced, but I think we're seeing the reason why he maybe wasn't getting snaps.
you could find players who were like, okay, they did what they could in this game. And you also saw players who were exposed, and the problem was far more the latter. You know, and the players who did step up stepped up when the game was already over. And you look at it and say, well, is Washington, you know, is there something to be gained from being better than Washington's backups? And if you want to say, I mean, maybe because Washington is one of the more talented teams in the conference. Going into the season, we thought of the first three games, the Utah game was the most winnable.
Yep.
You know, then Arizona competed against USC. You could argue probably, you know, they could have won that game. If Christian Roland Wallace gets an interception, you know, if he times his jump better or whatever, Arizona wins that game. And you're feeling different about even the Washington loss, because then you go to the Washington game, you're like, well, Washington's a really good team. Like, there's a reason Arizona was a double-digit underdog. Now, we were more optimistic based on the performances of each team the prior week. But talent-wise, Washington is better than Arizona. They were better than Arizona last year. They're better than Arizona this year. It's not a surprise that Arizona lost. And it's not a surprise that Arizona lost by double digits. The spread was, I think, about 14 points by the time kickoff happened. So it was just, it wasn't even a close loss. Like, it wasn't even, like, Arizona was not remotely competitive in this game. They were competitive for all of, like, four plays, you know, the first four plays of the game, and it just got out of hand, because even when, okay, the first touchdown happened, USC got the first score the week before after the fumble, after the interception, but Arizona went down the field and moved the ball. They showed fight. They showed they were going to be in the game pretty early. They showed against Washington they weren't going to be in the game at all. And that's, you know, but you could, if you want to chalk it up to say, well, that would be the case. It's Washington. They're going to do it to a lot of teams. Arizona's not on Washington's level. That's fine. It's just disappointing, because after the USC game, we thought maybe Arizona had taken at least a tiny step forward, and it seems to be that maybe USC was just that bad.
Yeah, and I think that's where I don't want to overstate, like, that fake punt that I think deflated the team a little bit, because very early on in the game, once it started to go sideways, I personally saw really not great body language from a lot of the young guys, and I think that's a characteristic of a young team, right? Like, it's, you know, without calling any guys out by name, some guys looked real slow off the line, you know, that ostensibly are some of the fastest people on the field, and, you know, I don't know if they're dinged up or if they're just deflated, but, like, if you're playing deflated against a team as talented as Washington, you're going to get smoked, right?
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that actually most concerned me. And I think I tweeted from the Wildcat Radio handle that the players looked deflated in the second or third, like, pretty early in the game. I'm like, I don't like the body language here, and, like, Grant Gunnell was frustrated the whole game. But the flip side to that is, you know, like you said, they showed some fight at the end. Granted, against, you know, the backups, but maybe that's what a young team needs to kind of get their focus back together. So I think from this game, you take from it what you can. It sounds like there's maybe some guys that are going to be available that weren't available in the past, like Bobby Wolf. I know someone said is now available, which would imply that he was not available.
And yeah, before, there was never any injury news that we knew, so it makes it sound like it was disciplinary, maybe. No, I don't want to speculate, but it was like, you feel like, but talent-wise, they could have used him in the secondary.
Yeah, and in that game, you got to see, like, Isaiah Mays, I think, got on the field for one of the first times, and he looked pretty good. And I mean, his whole thing is he's like a safety slash could be a nickelback, which in terms of coverage on those crossing routes that Reddy Short seems to struggle with, you know, that could be a real difference maker, even if he's lacking in some other, you know, aspects like size.
Yeah.
So I think you take from this game what you can. You learn. You took your lumps. You showed a little bit of fight when it was garbage time, but it's time to, you know, I know someone took a lot of the blame as a coaching staff, and to be honest, like, I think the coaching staff deserved a lot of the blame in this, because I don't like Washington clearly executed their game plan better than Arizona, and I think, like, Michael Lev, friend of the show, Arizona Daily Star, was, like, screen grabbing on Twitter, like, when he was rewatching the game, like, it's 3rd and 11. You have two guys at the goal, like, in the checkdowns, like, yeah, running crossing routes, like, maybe one, but, like, what do you, like, when you're not, I don't know if that's the right reaction to your struggle to pass protect. Right?
And the big issue there, like, I appreciated someone taking the blame. You know, he said, we got to coach better. We got to put these guys in better situations, that they weren't prepared right. Like, they didn't adjust fast enough to what Washington was doing differently. But they can't make the talent better this season. But the best coaches, and what you hope the coaching staff can do, is scheme their way to being competitive with teams who have superior talent. And that was the previous coaching staff, Rich Rodriguez. Those teams weren't the most talented, but they got blown out some, but not as often as this team has, especially over the last season and a half, right? You know, so that's the big thing. And you'd like, okay, can this team, like, is Arizona a team that should be shut out through three quarters? I don't care who they're playing. No, that shouldn't be the case.
Right.
You know, and you can look and say, like, Grant Gunnell's body language wasn't great. The offensive line was bad. You know, there was a lot going on there. They couldn't do anything right offensively, but that shouldn't happen. So I appreciated someone taking, kind of falling on the sword. You know, it's not what you want to hear in year 3. you know, things should be better. He shouldn't have to be falling on the sword after getting blown out, even against a team like Washington. So, you know, I know, like, last week I was all excited about, hey, this is pretty good against USC, even though it was a loss. This one is different. It's very different. And maybe Washington is that much better than USC. It's possible that we look back and say, yeah, they were every bit as good. They're going to, I think they're supposed to play Utah now this coming up week because Utah's game against ASU got canceled because ASU can't play again. Maybe Washington crushes them. Now, maybe Utah's also not very good and Arizona lost out a chance to win that first week. But like, it's possible, you know, and if Arizona any time after, if it wasn't the USC game that happened, I think Arizona getting just crushed in Washington, would people be like, yeah, okay. But the USC game gave you hope. Now, does the Washington game remove all of it? Like, it was revealing in the fact that, okay, Arizona's not close to Washington's level, but maybe they're at USC's? Like, but is that even the case, or was that just a one-game anomaly? Because that's what we still don't know. Now, fortunately for Arizona, the rest of the schedule lines up, at least on paper, you know? But if you could say if they play against USC, they'll have a chance to win every one of their last three games. If they play against Washington, they're not going to have a chance to win any of those games. And the question is, was Arizona so much different over the first two games, or was it their opponents that made the biggest difference in terms of how those games went?
I think the right answer is probably somewhere in between. And I think in this weird cadence of a season with games getting delayed, you know, out of normal schedules, it's going to create some unpredictable outcomes. Like, you know, our next opponent, UCLA, got beat by Colorado, who everybody was consensus the worst team, and then they've looked surprisingly decent. But then USC or UCLA also then almost beat Oregon, who's a top 10 ranked team, right?
Yeah.
And does that mean UCLA is great, or does that mean Oregon's playing down? So I think what we're seeing so far this season is just the weird cadence of, you know, out of normal schedules, people are having games canceled, there's uncertainty. I talked about it a month or two ago on the pod that I thought this season was going to largely resemble the third and fourth games of the NFL preseason, right? Where every, you know, it's a lot of people that are no names, they are surprised, and you know, there was no tune-up games for any of this, right?
Right.
And you're getting thrown right into conference play. So I think that the outcome of that is probably a lot of unexpected outcomes, even if it's just for a game or two. And then I think there can be a lot of these wide swings. So I think the real question is going to be who is able to learn from those, you know, the challenges and get better, get more under control and maintain a level of focus. And for a team like Arizona, that's where you hope that the more experienced coaching staff can help keep the young roster, relatively young roster focused and learn from that. Because, you know, as good as they looked at USC and as bad as they looked against Washington, I would be far from shocked if they didn't come out against UCLA and look a lot more like the USC Arizona team, which would, in my mind, make them competitive to win that game.
Yeah, Arizona's an underdog in that game. But, Brett, you know, between the Arizona game that right now is recorded on Tuesday, that's supposed to happen against UCLA this weekend. There's NFL games, other college football games happening. The NBA draft just happened last week. The NBA season's going to start up in a couple of weeks, I think. Yeah, but there's plenty of games to watch. And with thousands of lines available on all your favorite sports and events, you can turn your game day into payday with MyBookie. You know, if you're like the type of guy who likes to back the big favorites, consider putting a couple in a parlay for a much bigger payout. Not only do parlays make meaningless games exciting, but more importantly, they give you a chance to turn ordinary bets into real moneymakers. And don't forget those underdogs. They also have a ton of value. You know, the thing about the NFL and college football, especially with this wonky season, is that underdogs are never really dogs. Every team truly has a chance to win, and you do too. Game spreads, championship futures, and player prop bets. It's never too late to get on the action and start turning your sports knowledge into actual cash in your wallet. Sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use our promo code OVERTIME to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. Remember, that's promo code OVERTIME for you to claim your bonus and when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, prop bets all over, major sports, and more. Sign up today and beginning your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. And, Brett, you mentioned that UCLA game, how Arizona will come out. It's a really important game for this coaching staff, for this program. Let's talk about it after this break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Welcome back. And Brett, we kind of touched on it before the break. Arizona's playing UCLA this week, and it's the first game of this season going in where, I mean, I remember thinking that Arizona wasn't going to be a double-digit underdog, and I think they're about double digits based on the fact that UCLA looked decent. Their last game, especially, Arizona looked terrible. It's a really big game in that, obviously, you don't know how many games you're going to get to play this season. Arizona, we said they're not the worst team in the conference. We didn't think they're going to go winless. If they look bad against the Bruins, decent chance that, well, are they going to look better against Colorado? I mean, that's a home game. ASU, if that game's even played, that's a home game. But I look at this, and one thing I want to get at before we really get into UCLA is everyone's talking about Arizona's losing streak, right? Seven games to end last season, first two this season, nine-game losing streak. It's like the longest in program history, if I remember right. I think I read that somewhere. And it kind of reminds me of the time when Mike Stoops got fired, when Arizona lost, I think, their last, like, five games of the regular season, then, like, their first two or three Pac-12 games the next year. But even then, it wasn't a long-sustained losing streak because there were non-conference games to start this year. I think Arizona played NAU or something that year. So the losing streak stopped. And one thing about this season, we look at this losing streak, and it's absolutely a losing streak, for sure. But there's not a doubt in my mind that if Arizona had a normal season and played Portland State, had played Hawaii, and Texas Tech, I think, was the other game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that Arizona wins at least one of those games, probably two of them, Hawaii
maybe,
and Portland
maybe
State.
Maybe even three, to be
maybe
honest.
Maybe all three. And then you go in, and I think Stanford would have been the first Pac-12 game. Stanford's not any good. So maybe that's four wins right there, and the tone is different. So not to make sure the schedule's the schedule, but everyone's going to look at this losing streak, and it's a losing streak. Technically, it is. From last season to this season, there has been no wins in, to break up this string of losses, but not all losing streaks are the same, and this one certainly is largely, at least for this season's part of it, a matter of circumstance as much as a matter of poor football or poor coaching.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, of the first three games in this, what, third or fourth version of a college Pac-12 schedule, you know, Arizona didn't get any favors to start the season.
No.
And the consensus most likely win opportunity was that Utah game. And I wonder if Arizona played against Utah like they did against USC. I think
they would have beat Utah.
I think they would have beaten Utah, right?
Yeah.
And that fundamentally changes things. In terms of the narrative game, you know me, you know how much I don't care about the narrative. but the narrative can be self-fulfilling if it kind of gets out of control, right? It can impact, like, the team morale and, like, that body language like I was talking about in the game against Washington. You know, those things can wear on people, right? It seems, you know, that's where you wonder if, with so many young guys, a whole new defensive coaching staff, if the narrative means even less to the broader Arizona football roster and program, because, you know, the defensive staff, they don't have a 9-game losing streak. They have a 2-game losing streak, right? And a large number of the players haven't seen the field for the majority of those games, right? So I understand the frustration. And even if you had, if you had the normal schedule, they'd probably be sitting at, you know, a reasonable record at this point.
Yeah, still may not be a great football team, but they would look better. And fans and media would have had good wins. Like, they would have wins to talk about, something to feel good about, and that just hasn't happened yet, other than a loss. The best we could all do was feeling good about a loss to open this season.
Yeah, and that's where I think we now enter the back half of the schedule, assuming that all of these games happen, which is a very large assumption. I don't know if you could bet on that on my bookie, but maybe you can if COVID gets the win. you know, I think this is the first game where most people thought that there was a, you know, fairly decent chance of Arizona getting a win, even if it's on the road. Mm-hmm. But it's also on the road in COVID times, so there's not going to be the same kind of crowd noise, distractions, et cetera, things like
it's
that.
It's the Rose Bowl. There's not a lot of crowd noise there anyway.
Fair
not
enough.
When US, not when UCLA is playing just anyone. I went to the game in the Rose Bowl a couple years ago. It was one of the – it was worse than an Arizona Stadium vibe. It was just, like, dead in there.
Well, I mean, have you seen L.A. traffic, Adam? Jeez.
One thing, though, because, like, to that point, like, 2010 was the last full year of Mike Stoops. Arizona started that season 7-1, finished 7-6 after their bowl game, finished by losing to Stanford, USC, then number one Oregon and ASU in the game with the extra points. Arizona should have won that game, whatever. But you can say, oh, look at the difficult teams. Number 13, Stanford. USC was down, but it was still USC. Number one Oregon, then the bowl game against Oklahoma State. It's a losing streak to end the season, right? The following season, Arizona beat NAU to open the season. Hey, losing streak stopped. But then number 9, Oklahoma State, number 6, Stanford, number 10, Oregon, at USC, at Oregon State, and that's when they fired Mike Stoops. And I know it was the Oregon State game, it was like, come on, because Oregon State wasn't any good. But look at the good teams that line that up. That's similar to this schedule here. Now, last season didn't end with all the good teams, but this season of their 6 scheduled games started with arguably the 3 toughest ones. I guess maybe ASU will be, but we don't know even how good they are. They lost to USC and haven't played since, but at least that's a home game for Arizona. So the 3 least likely games for them to win were the first 3 games of the season, and like you said, the most likely of that group, they didn't even get to play. Starting with UCLA, if Arizona's not as bad as people thought, this was a game that we thought they could win. This was a game that you say, yeah, they've looked okay, but they're not supposed to be that good either. You know, they beat Cal to start the season, and Cal had that wonky situation with their scheduling. Then they competed against Oregon on the road. Like, they've looked better through 2 games than Arizona has, but are they good? You know, we also don't know who their quarterback's going to be in this game. Like, they've got problems on their own. So, like, it's a big game for Arizona and for that narrative for the rest of the season, because obviously you can't get blown out in this game no matter what. You have to be in this game. And if you can win it, if you can beat UCLA on the road, well, then your last 2 games are at home and you start to have some confidence that, yeah, okay, we can do this. Because then you could argue that Washington was just a superior opponent. And they were. Like, I don't think anyone's going to argue that. They just have better players. But UCLA is not supposed to be a huge talent gap with Arizona. Colorado is not supposed to have a big talent gap. ASU is supposed to have a talent gap, but not as wide as I think Washington. So that's a huge game against the Bruins for Arizona, because this is, even after Arizona's first 2 games and what UCLA has done, this is a winnable football game against a team that cannot just line up against you man on man, hat on hat, and dominate you like Washington did.
Yeah. You know, UCLA is interesting because they've leaned really hard on their running back, Felton. I think he had 34 carries against Oregon. That's like Kadeem Carey numbers. That's like an unheard of number of carries, right? But like Chase Griffin filled in for DTR and was 19 of 31 with 2 picks and 1 touchdown. Like, that almost beat a number 9 team.
Yeah.
Right?
On the road.
That kind of shows you how weird, you know, college football is right now. I think it's going to be, to your point, I think this is, if there's going to be an inflection point in this shortened season, you know, this is not a long season. There's not a lot of time to figure it out. So this is one of those inflection point times where it's, if you pull this game out on the road, and you come home for 2 more games that are, you know, I would say Colorado is certainly winnable. And I think ASU, we don't know how good or bad ASU is.
They should be well rested.
they might be short of breath.
That's not cool.
You know, in the rivalry game, it's never more than like a 60-40, 65-35 proposition, yeah. No matter how good or bad either team is, right? So with a young team, if you can I don't know if it's enough to just be competitive in this game. I think a competitive loss, it still has them kind of walking that tightrope that they might backslide. If they get blown out, I think it's going to be a rough close of the season. If they come in and win, I could see them closing with, you know, these next 3 games, certainly being competitive in all of them and maybe even winning all 3 of them, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
well,
not inconceivable.
No, and that's a hard part because, again, even like the other teams we're talking about, Colorado was supposed to be garbage going into this season. They've looked better, but kind of to my point earlier, their schedule's been a little bit kinder. They've played UCLA and Stanford to start the season. You know, yeah. And we could, we'll find out Arizona against UCLA this week, and we won't get to see Arizona Stanford unless they're at the bottom of the their respective Pac-12 divisions, and maybe we'll see them for the seventh game.
We'll meet you there.
But you could argue that as rough of a draw Arizona had to start the season, Colorado's had a good draw. Maybe Colorado's better. Who knows? But you can't look at them and say they're 2-0 and be like, oh, that's a good football team, because they've beaten arguably two of the bottom four teams in the conference to start the season. You know, whereas Arizona's played and lost to two of the better ones. Like, is that, that's, I mean, that's the schedule makers. That's, the, you know, Arizona got no fairs, but we knew that going in. But like you said, this is the game against UCLA, that inflection point, because UCLA, by all accounts, should be beatable. Or as they're as beatable as any team that Arizona's played up to this point in the season. You know, Arizona beat the Bruins last season, and Grant Gunnell's only, like, his first start. It was a close game. Missed field goal, sealed it. Then the year before, they went to UCLA and lost by like a point. And there's like one or two, and Rhett Rod started that game. Khalil Tate was out. I was at that game. It was a blast. And I know I was watching some of the press conferences. I think it was Bryce Wolmer, one of the guys today on Tuesday, was asked about the fact that Arizona did beat UCLA last year and did have that close loss in the year before. And does that mean anything in terms of giving them confidence that they can win this game? And the answer, I'm pretty sure it was Wolmer, because he would have played in the game a couple years ago. Blackwell, who was the other guy, did not. But he's like, yeah, like, we always go into any game thinking we can win. But certainly when it's a team that you have had success against, it gives you that extra confidence. So, and I think for any Arizona fan who's really down on what happened against Washington, which I think is everybody, it's important to remember that Washington is really good, or really talented anyway. And we probably overestimated Arizona's progression, but really underestimated Washington's regression after that first game. Maybe if things go back towards the mean, UCLA is not that much more talented than Arizona, if more talented at all. So we'll see what this coaching staff can do. You know, they've said all the right things this week, that they're all angry, that the self-reflection, getting into the game plans and learning this and that, and probably see some lineup changes. Maybe more of the young guys like Derek Morning might get more run to start, or Mejon Wright will be on the field more. You know, that's the beauty of a season like this. It doesn't cost these guys any years of eligibility. And at this point, what the hell? You know, if they're your best players, put the best guys out there no matter what year they are, which when true freshmen are your best players, that's not normally a really good thing, at least not for programs like Arizona. Mm-hmm. It's really good things for, like, Alabama or something, you know, when you're like, yep, that's a five-star guy who is going to be would be an NFL pick right now. But they can start, and you feel good about it. Arizona's not so much, but at the same time, they might be your best players. And this is the time to get him in there. So I don't feel good about this game. I don't feel good about any games anymore. It's Arizona football. How can you feel good about anything? But I am cautiously optimistic that Arizona can bounce back in this game, but I think we'll know early once again. You know, against USC, Arizona fell behind and battled right back. They were never out of that game, you know, the entire way. They never let it get away from them. Against Washington, it got away from them really quickly. We knew. And that's kind of been the MO with Sumlin's teams the last couple of years. Like, when they're in games, they're in games. But when they get blown out, like when they lose, it's often a blot, especially on the road. I'm trying to remember the last time they were competitive on the road in a game they lost. Now that I think about that, like that's show prep for you. I guess Hawaii, the week zero game, they were competitive in that game and they lost. But other than that, their road games, especially in conference, have not been within single digits. They weren't at all last season. They were all double-digit losses. And the year before, yeah, well, we all remember the Houston game. That wasn't good. And then at Utah, they got blown out. At UCLA, the Rhett Rod game, they lost by one. Washington State blew them out. So Arizona is generally, when they lose on the road, they are not competitive.
I was at that game.
Yeah. But so that's how it is. So I think we'll know pretty early. Because if Arizona has a chance to beat UCLA, obviously they have to be in the game. They can't get down three touchdowns. But we'll know pretty early on if Arizona can move the ball against the Bruins defense, which isn't a great defense. We'll know if Arizona's defense can put up a fight against whichever quarterback they see.
Yeah, I think this game is going to be very revealing in terms of the coaching staff. And I say that in the sense of, have they lost any of the young guys in terms of being able to get them motivated and focused? Or do they still have their attention and their discipline in place? And then also, I would contend, like I said earlier, I think Arizona's coaching staff got out-coached in terms of the game plan against Washington that was just exacerbated by the talent. Right?
Yeah. That's fair.
like, I didn't see anything in Arizona's game plan that had, I didn't see a path to success in the play calling, and some of that's, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right?
Yeah, I mean, play calls look good when they're successful, and sometimes, like, we don't look at a play call and say, that was a terrible play call, but it worked. It's always, it's hard to say, that play call where the right tackle got blown up and there was a sack, but man, that was a brilliant play call. But there were times, like Michael Lev pointed out, it's like, what is happening on this route? What is going on here?
Or, you know, if you're going to get blown up and sacked on a three-man rush, why not, you know, offset that with some like middle of the field screens to your running backs, or, you know, was it Rob or Ronnie came on the show saying that, like, have the two running backs on and always have one coming to block and one that's going to, you know, go to a check down, but you never know which one. Like, there's things you can try to do. Like, there was some intelligent things, like when they put receivers in motion, because it was basically telling if they were in man or zone on defense. You know, there's some smart things like that, but I didn't see much that was going to help drive the outcomes to offset the talent differential.
They all looked kind of shell-shocked to start that game, because, like, they went in with confidence of what happened against USC. Like, they weren't expecting to get blown out, which is fair. You don't go into a game expecting to get your asses kicked like that. But when they got punched in the mouth with that long play to start the game after the fake punt, and then the three and out, and then another score, I think even the coaching staff kind of had that, well, what do we do? Which is not okay, not acceptable from a veteran coaching staff.
Yeah,
you know, these aren't brand new coordinators. These are not brand new coaches. Like, that's not okay. Like, that was a problem. But can they bounce back? Do they have the attention in that locker room? Have they lost the team? Which you'd hope not, because most of the guys they're relying on were recruited by this coaching staff. You know, so they shouldn't be tuning them out. But with everyone knowing that someone in that staff are on a hot seat, whether they can afford to fire them after the season or not, we don't know. People could say they should fire someone. I'm not going to say they should, and I'm not going to say they should right now. But they may not have the money to do it, even if they should. That's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I think you texted me the point during the game that the young guys that are looking good are someone's staff's guys, right? Which, you know, augurs well for the future of the roster. Like, Mejon Wright wasn't that highly acclaimed, and that he all early indications are he could be a stud, right?
Yeah, look at CJ Holmes from The Athletic, who used to be the Arizona beat writer, had a great story on Mejon Wright, like his history, his personal, like how he got to Arizona, his journey. Find it on The Athletic. It's a fantastic read. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, the challenge with being early in the season, if guys got dinged up in the fall camp and or were late for whatever reason or had to be isolated during those practices, that some guys were maybe behind in terms of being ready for gameplay for the USC game and maybe even for the Washington game. Maybe them coming in late, it was a chance to get their feet wet and see what they have, and maybe that results in some personnel changes. Like, I got to think Derek Morning, DJ Morning's going to get some more play, because he's looked pretty good and he's only getting more experience. Mm-hmm. You know, if Mays gets in there at safety, that can help address some things. If Bobby Wolf is back in some capacity and playing to his ability, you know, he was basically a four-star in a lot of recruiting ratings corner, right? Christian Roland Wallace was one of the few bright spots on the Arizona defense. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to be cautiously optimistic, and I'm almost inclined to, are we doing predictions, Adam?
Yeah, let's do it. We forgot to do it last week, which I'm sure I picked a loss on AZ Desert Swarm, but I picked a close loss, so I'm not going to take any credit for that. I assume you were probably going to pick them to lose to Washington as well.
I'm pretty sure I would have picked them to lose by the exact score, Adam. I thought I texted you that. It was a very good call on my part.
You even nailed with Arizona scoring 27 points in the fourth quarter. You had it quarter by quarter even. I was impressed.
Well, what's your pick for the game, Adam?
You know what? I'm going to say Arizona wins 31-27.
Damn it. Here I thought I was going to be the one coming in with the hot take. I was going to say 34-31 Arizona. I think they're going to be surprisingly focused.
Yeah. Oh, I believe in Grant Gunnell. Like, I liked what I saw. They kept him in at the end of that Washington game, and he fought, and he made some throws. Like, the first touchdown to Berryhill was a great throw at the pylon. The one to Mejon Wright was a good throw. You know, he showed his toughness. I think the team believes in him, and there's every reason to. And he's the type of guy who's going to go back to work and look at the film and be like, yeah, I need to be better. Like, he is absolutely the type of guy to bounce back from a game like that where the stats look a lot better than his performance was. But I think there's probably stuff he can build on, and the offense will play well again. I don't think UCLA's defense is good enough to shut down Gunnell in that offense.
No, one of the things you really want to see in this game is Arizona's receivers. You know, there's a lot of quantity, and there's uncertain quality, and a lot of the quality is really at the young guys. Mm-hmm. And some of those guys need to get more of that kind of alpha dog mentality or user athleticism. You know, some of these young guys, I feel like you see them, it's like it's a different kind of level, different physicality they have to deal with. Like, it's not in high school where they're just the superior athlete. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some lessons hopefully being learned in the receivers, and maybe getting Mejon right on the field makes defenses actually have to adjust for him, which opens up things for some of the other guys that are maybe a little less alpha in their
go-get-the-ball mentality. Or opens up for Jamari Joyner, you know, who is really talented. But obviously the Washington game was tough to figure out for the offense because Gunnell had no time for much of the game to even try to find receivers. And without watching the All-22, it's hard to know what he could see, like what was open downfield. The presumption is not much. But there's like that relationship between the offensive line not blocking long enough for the receivers to get open, and the receivers not getting open soon enough before the offensive line fell apart. Like, it went hand in hand.
Well, and I would contend that the time of possession and falling behind early mm-hmm. means you're not getting to run your game plan in terms of running the ball. Like, Gary Brightwell didn't have that many carries. I think he had maybe like 11 carries or something like that. You know, you probably want him more in the high teens, low mm-hmm. 20s, along with, you know, Wiley and Jalen John getting some more snaps. You know, the problem in football, and especially in college football, if one side of the ball is having a really bad night, it tends to impact the other side of the ball, and it just snowballs. And I think that's what we saw in the Washington game. My hope and mild expectation is that I kind of believe that this coaching staff has the attention of this young roster, and I think that they. With that, they can put them in a chance to be successful. Maybe some changes on the roster in terms of who's getting more snaps. I have, maybe it's a misplaced sense of confidence, but I feel like this is going to be the game that ends the losing streak.
And it'd be nice. I know we both picked an Arizona win, so we might have a lot to answer for next week if Arizona looks bad.
we really Thelma and Louise this one, Adam.
Yeah. God, it'd be nice for them to win again. And like I said earlier, if Arizona had a normal season, they would have won at least one game to start the season, probably two, possibly three. Yeah, they would have had Colin Schooler and Tony Fields at linebacker, which with those defensive lines still would have looked better. Tony Fields is killing it for West Virginia. That's doing better than Schooler is for Texas Tech, I think. West Virginia has like a top five defense in the country. So, I mean, good for him, you know. And even having Brendan Schooler would have been helpful, probably an experienced receiver for some of these. But that's the hand that Arizona was dealt this season. You know, they lost a lot of key guys before the season even began, and then they started with the tougher teams on their schedule. And now for the first time, they have a game where I guess they're still nearly a double-digit underdog, but talent-wise, the gap isn't large enough to say Arizona is going to lose, and you and I both think they're going to win. That would be nice. I think it's a 6 o'clock game again, if I remember right. So I guess we'll see. You know, that game's happening. Hopefully the start of Arizona's new winning streak begins this weekend. We know another season is supposed to start for Arizona basketball. It's getting a little bit delayed, but let's talk about the latest after this break. Okay, so Brett, a common refrain from Arizona fans, especially at this point in a football season, is wait for basketball season. Hasn't necessarily been the case the last couple of years, even though football has kind of led us all to thinking it. Basketball season was supposed to start on Wednesday the 25th against Northern Arizona University. We're recording on the 24th. That game is not happening. It was canceled or postponed or just not happening on Wednesday due to a COVID issue with NAU, which is going to be a theme for college basketball. We're seeing it all over the country. We've seen it for football. It's going to happen with basketball. Games are going to get canceled, postponed, whatever. Arizona is still supposed to open the season on Friday against Grambling State at home with like no one in McHale Center. And if that's not bad enough, we found out this week that Brett's new man crush on the basketball team, Kirk Crissa, is not actually going to be with the team to start the season.
No.
Evidently, he's still waiting to get cleared by the NCAA to play for Arizona. So in the meantime, he's going to return home to play for the senior national team for Estonia. They got a couple of games, one on the 28th, one on the 30th. And the expectation as of right now is that he'll be back after those two games. He's just going, he's like, hey, he's going to go play basketball somewhere. But then he'll come back, he'll rejoin the team. But I guess more so than the Arizona's game is any of you getting canceled and wherever the season goes with the schedule. It's like, this is a guy they're going to rely on who people are really excited about. And until he is cleared to be an Arizona Wildcat, there's going to be that question. It's like, huh, okay, so maybe it's this first game. Maybe it's the first couple games. Then it's the next couple. And the next couple after that, and on and on. I'm not entirely sure what the issue. I'm sure it's just with his the teams he played for back home and getting cleared. Like, did he, like, I don't know enough about the situation to make a real educated statement, but the fact that he hasn't been cleared yet concerns me.
I don't understand. Maybe I'm just ignorant, but I don't understand what a European kid would have eligibility wise. Like, is it, it's not, I don't understand what would cause that.
Is it like the how many games he might have played in, or I don't know if he ever got paid to play for those teams, or.
But does that even matter if
who
it's
they go against
international?
I don't know. We probably should have looked this up before the show. But that's the thing. Like, we going, none of us really knew anything about it. No one assumed that he wouldn't be part of the team. Miller's talked about him. There's been articles written about him. Like, it was by all accounts he was going to be part of this team all season long, and to have that bomb dropped on them, really right before the season was supposed to start. It's just like, really? We also learned that Ira Lee is dealing with a concussion, so he's probably going to miss the first, you know, game or so. And Daniel Bache, of course, has a knee surgery, so he's out. So Arizona could be down three key players from their team to start. And again, it's Grambling State to begin the season. It's not exactly a murderer's row, but this new team, you know, Grambling State, UTEP, you know, like, it's not. And then Colorado comes, you know, December 2nd. Like, it's not. I mean, it's a weird season for them too, but to start, to have to begin it without really probably three rotation guys, especially Carissa, who they were going to rely on quite a bit from as far as we knew, and that you were looking forward to seeing as much as anybody.
Yep.
Like, it's just, I guess that's Arizona basketball for you.
It's Arizona basketball in 2020, Adam. Right. Like, next thing you're going to tell me is that Christian Coloco is injured and can't play.
Don't,
or
say that.
Ineligible.
Do not speak that into existence. What are you doing?
I'm depressed about Kirk Carissa not playing this coming
week.
Is it
Carissa? And I've been calling it Carissa, but is it Carissa? Do we know that for sure?
You know, I don't have a media guide in front of me because I'm not a media member, Adam.
I don't have one in front of me either.
you're somewhat of a media member.
As much as you are at this point.
I don't know who that says more or less about.
Oh, it definitely says less about me. Definitely less about me. But it's just like, this was a weird season, but we're all excited for this season. Not in that we think Arizona's going to be the best team again or a Final Four contender or even what this season's going to bring, but we wanted to watch them build with these guys. And let's assume, I guess, for the sake of maybe we deserve a couple of nice things, that Kerr, will be back within a week or so. He'll get cleared. Everything will be fine. He'll just miss these first couple games. No harm, right? They'll manage, and it'll be okay. Then we get on with the season and see what happens. See how many games they get in. See how some of the guys like the Tabulai, you know, or Coloco's development, or James Akinjo and Jordan Brown. Like, there's a lot of players that I'm excited to see play and see how this team comes together, huh?
Dalen Terry, Ben.
Yeah, even Jamal Baker, a healthy Jamal Baker. Like, we'll see what he can be. He was a formerly highly rated recruit as well. So there's a lot to be intrigued by, but just when it starts a season with guys missing, you're like, oh, okay. Like, that kind of puts a damper on things, but. You know, the Pac-12 did release the rest of this conference schedule actually today, on Tuesday. You know, begin with Colorado, then at Stanford, at Washington State, hosting USC, hosting UCLA, at Oregon State. The first game against ASU is on January 21st, so about the time it normally is. They usually play in January sometime. That one is on the road. That'll be in Tempe. And then Arizona hosts ASU on March 6th. ASU, of course, is in the top 25. They're supposed to be pretty good. We'll see. Expectations can be... They can be a thing. You know, Arizona's flying under the radar, which is weird to say that ASU has expectations and the Wildcats are flying under the radar. That's where we are. Like, we've talked a lot about this season, what our expectations are, what we think of this team, so there's no real preview for us to do. But just college basketball,
we thought that it was going to be easier to get through the seasons because there's fewer players, fewer coaches. It's easier to bubble and everything. But already NAU is missing, had to cancel that game against Arizona. I think Baylor, their head coach, had an issue. That's why they're supposed to play ASU to start the season, and that's not happening. Games all over are getting rearranged. And this is sports during COVID.
Yeah, sports makes plans, and COVID erases them, right? you know, it's I still think it's going to be easier to maintain and control. You can play more games in a tighter time frame if you have to reschedule games than you can in football, like especially with the conferences in football being misaligned in timing and trying to chase a normal bowl schedule. They've basically backed themselves into a mess of a the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Basketball has much more ability. You know, if Colorado can't play Arizona on December 2nd, you know, they could squeeze that game in a lot of ways between that and March, mm-hmm. right? Even if you had to play three games in a week, right? Or you end up, you know, bubbling in a pre-Pac-12 tournament to do some makeup games like 2 days before the Pac-12 tournament starts or something like that.
It's doable,
right?
In basketball.
There's things you can do. And it's just the sheer volume of people that have to be traveling is not nearly as high as a football program traveling to games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the challenge with the guy, like with Bacho, Kerr Carissa, and Ira Lee potentially all being out, it for a team that is brand new, you're not necessarily getting to fall into and figure out what your roles are very quickly and easily. And assuming they all come, well, Bacho may not come back for this season, but assuming Ira Lee and Kerr Carissa come back, you know, it's going to disrupt whatever rotation they were having and roles that people were having. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, we'll see how they play out. I think Carissa is a guy that's going to make a lot of the players on the court with him better. And Ira Lee's worst case scenario is he's always good to have as a defense rebounding energy guy. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's just going to change things. And when a team is basically kind of young and figuring each other out, you know, it's gonna make the beginning of the season a little bit more of a challenge. You know, hopefully Carissa's back before Pac-12 play starts. Certainly before Stanford game, December 19th at Stanford. That's, you know, Stanford's got a pretty solid roster. That'll be an early indication of where Arizona is at least to begin the season, because there's some real talent on there. I'm not sure I'm 100% sold on them being a, you know, better than Arizona. But, you know, Zaire Williams has got to be, you know, potential lottery pick.
There's a reason why Arizona wanted him so badly. He's a good player.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, Nico Mannion was in a similar lottery projection.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not this time, last season.
Arizona doesn't have a single player you look and say that's a lottery pick after this season. Whereas other programs like Zaire Williams, you could make that case, if not a lottery pick, a first-round pick. You know, but to your point, too, like Arizona last year had Nico Mannion. He ended up being a second-round pick. We could talk about that. Josh Green went to the Mavericks. Zeke Nagy, the Nuggets. I like the fits for all those guys. Mannion with the Warriors, even in the second round, I think it's great for all three of those players. But, yeah, this is an Arizona team where normally you'd look at it like you to start a season with non-conference, especially with lighter games, you kind of want the veterans to be the ones who are injured to start. So maybe a guy like Kerr Carissa could come in and be like, oh, he's actually more ready than we thought. You know, or Ben or Dalen Terry would be better than you thought. Kind of like the year when Alonzo Trier was out to start. And Raleigh Alkins and Kobe Simmons, like, oh, these guys can play a little bit. You know, that's helpful. This team's better. Having Bacho out, that doesn't help you. Having Carissa out to start the first couple games doesn't help in that regard. But it does allow for other players to get more minutes. You know, like, I mean, they still have James Akinjo to run the point. They'll be fine. They have Terrell Brown, who won the most recent gold jersey in practice, you know, who could play lead guard. They have Jamal Baker, who's played point guard. So they have enough. Sean Miller really plays more than 10 guys anyway. You know, really plays more than 8 if he's happy. But, of course, this is a time of the year where you want to see more guys on the court just so they could figure out those roles and who's best at what. But, you know, as far as college basketball season goes for U of A season, obviously this is the least excited I've been overall because just it's 2020. We know what's going on. You never mind the fact that Arizona's not predicted to be a top 25 team or a Final Four contender. Just everything's just kind of, it's as you go. You know, you play a game, see if you can play the next one. And then if you play that one, you see if you can play the next one. and it's hard to really get excited or have that high anticipation for anything because, again, like Arizona's first game is already canceled. It was only NAU, but it was going to be a basketball game. You know? Like, so it's hard for me to get really excited, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to seeing them play as much as we can see them play because of what this season means. But that involves having guys like Kirk Carissa on the court. You know, that involves having guys, I mean, ideally Bacho, although he's legit hurt. He's not going to be back for a little while. Even Ira Lee, as a senior, like to see him on the floor and his development, see what kind of player he is within this newfound roster. So, you know, that's supposed to happen November 27th, so that's Friday, against Grambling State, whichever one you want to call them. I think, did Arizona play Grambling State in football a handful of years back and almost lost, but their quarterback got hurt?
Yeah, I was at that game, and that first half was one of the most painful things I'd ever seen. Then their band, who's like their famous marching band, put on the most entertaining show of that night, and then Arizona ended up coming back and squeaking by.
Yeah, okay, because yeah, their quarterback got hurt, and then it was just like their backup wasn't at all any good, and Arizona came back to win that one. But yeah, we'll see about this basketball season. It's hopefully you listen to this show, and so we didn't really want to do a basketball preview because we've talked quite a bit about this team. Just more basketball news of the players who aren't going to be here to start the season and when the season might actually start. Obviously, conference play starts in December. We'll see where the Wildcats fit in. That's all. It's not. Neither one of us are saying they're the best team. We also think they're closer to the top of the conference than the bottom of the conference standings in terms of talent. But there's such an unknown that it's hard to make any real prediction other than it'll be interesting.
I mean, it's the perfect match of an unknown roster with an unknown season that makes it it's a good season to not be worried about expectations, right? Because
kind of thinking along those lines, did you see, was it Auburn did some self-imposed like postseason ban or something? They sanctioned themselves, which people are like, oh, if you're going to do it, this is the year. You know, there might not even be a tournament. And I don't know if, by all accounts, most people who know what they're talking about say, like, that doesn't do anything to garner favor with the NCAA. Like, they don't care if you self-impose. Like, they're still going to hand down whatever punishment they want, especially if there's no tournament this year. They're going to be like, oh, well, you self-imposed in a year where you didn't even play basketball anyway. That counts. You're good. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, anybody who thinks they're going to try to get the NCAA figured out and, like, help bring some logic or rhyme or reason that to their decision making that's a fool's errand.
Yeah. So although we're not sure about Arizona basketball men's side, the women's team, I know they've had a hard time finding non-conference games to start their season, but that's a team where the expectations that aren't there for the men's team, they're there for the women's team. Like for championship aspirations, we want that team to play basketball. Like they're loaded. Saw the article. Ari McDonald was ranked as the second best player in women's college basketball by ESPN. That's the type of talent that Arizona has, you know, because she's their best player, but not their only good player. They're just loaded roster who missed out on a chance to make a deep run in the tournament last year because of COVID. And then basically is running it all back this year in this weird season. Like, man, they deserve a chance to play. They deserve a chance to go on that run because that's a really talented team that Adia Barnes has put together. So, you know, when we talk about Arizona basketball, like, obviously, focus on the men's team because at this point they're the most interesting, but they're not the best roster, the best team on the campus. That's the women's team.
Oh yeah, and it's not close.
No, it's not. Like, and that's not even to say that we think Arizona men's team is bad. We don't think that. Just the women's team is excellent. Like they're outstanding. So basketball season is supposed to start this week. Football season has, hopefully, for Pac-12, what, 4 games left for Arizona. So that's the other thing I was thinking about. Like everything's so weird in 2020, and obviously the sports calendar is wonky. This is Thanksgiving week. Arizona's supposed to be ending the regular season against ASU this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's when you were saying, like, you know, you're usually saying wait for basketball season. It's starting, even starting late, but football still is, like, not even half done because coronavirus.
So it's all weird. Obviously, everyone, hopefully listen to this before Thanksgiving, have a great holiday. Do what you can to be safe. It's a tough time for everyone. We know that people want to get together, and I'm one of those people who wants to get together. If you do it, wear masks, do it outside, especially if you're in Arizona where you can do things outside. Just be as safe as you can because we know what's going on around the world, around the country, and it's not great, and we want to make sure everyone gets through this time. Brett, Any Thanksgiving thoughts before we wrap up the show?
I think, not to philosophize too much, but I think it's a good year to really reflect on what you are thankful for in the middle of a really crappy year that all of us have shared collectively. I think it's a good reminder for us all to still take the time to appreciate what we do have. Maybe now more than ever, and that maybe makes the the rest of the pandemic a little more salvageable and the challenge of it a little less challenging. But I plus one what you're saying about, you know, being safe out there. It's not just for you, it's for everyone else and for the people who have challenged immunity systems. But yeah, take that time to find what you're thankful for now more than ever.
That's well said. You can get Thanks. More of that type of content. Follow us on Twitter at Wildcat Radio AZ. Brett's often in charge of that, especially during games. And I don't know how many beers deep you were by about halftime of last week's game, but the tweets do get more fun as the night goes on. So make sure you're following us there, Wildcat Radio AZ, on the Twitter machine. Make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Spotify, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. You can subscribe, rate us, review us. We'd like to know what you think. But yeah, otherwise, have a good, reflective, safe Thanksgiving holiday. We'll talk about Arizona's game against UCLA. Hopefully a win that we each predicted, as long as ideally the start to basketball season next week. But until then, remember to bear down.
Bear down.